Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Blaine Barton and the scripting guy, Ed Wilson, are back for this month's PowerShell Tips and Tricks, and in today's episode, they discuss the newest features in PowerShell 3.0's integrated scripting environments. Tune in as they chat about its benefits, how it works, how it can be a time saver, and what it can do for you. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist with Microsoft. And today we have the monthly episode of PowerShell. We're always talking about PowerShell with Ed Wilson. This is a great topic. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Blaine.
Good, good. So this monthly episode, we're going to talk about the features of integrated scripting environment. Is that correct?
Sure, why not?
So we're going to talk about, you know, why use the PowerShell ISE? Do you have to write a script to use ISE? Do you have to use the ISE to write a script, right? What are some of the time-saving things you can do with ISE? What it can do for me, right? So let's take it away. Let's start with the first one. Why use Windows PowerShell ISE?
Well, there's a number of reasons for doing this. One of the reasons, of course, is it's free. It's built right into Windows 8. Well, it was also in Windows 7. And so if you have PowerShell 2 or PowerShell 3, you have access to the ISE. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about the PowerShell ISE for PowerShell 3.0. And it has a number of really, really good features that we've added to it. But one of the things that you may want to think about, you know, when using it is, of course, you know, it is free, but cost shouldn't be the major issue. But it's available. You know, it's supported. So if you're working on Windows 8, for instance, it's already there. If you're working on Windows Server 2012, you can add it if you need it. I'm not sure why you would be writing scripts on the on a server, but then that's just the point. You don't have to just use the ISE to write scripts. So a lot of people kind of had this misconception. They think, well, integrated script environment, integrated script editor, and they think, I need to write a script. I actually was attending a SQL Saturday presentation, and one of the guys called this graphical PowerShell. And I actually think, well, that's kind of cute, graphical PowerShell. So maybe we need to start calling this graphical PowerShell if you want, or GUI PowerShell. But I do want to show you some things that can help you use the ISE and maybe help to defray a few misconceptions. Okay, so Blaine, here is the Windows PowerShell ISE. Now, when I for PowerShell 3.0. When I open it up, actually this pane here is probably going to be minimized, but the blue area right here is the command output window. But you can also use this exactly like you would the PowerShell console. So for instance, I could type git-process and then press enter, and of course we get a listing of processes. Clear the screen. But now watch what happens here. When I say git-process, notice this is one of our new features here. So we see this pop-up list that shows up. So I could actually like scroll down through here if I wanted to and come over and select Git Process. And then notice also that that when I select it, then it gives me my parameters for it. So Git Process name as a string. It also goes away. Now that's a timeout feature. So we can set that if we want to. Or we can to just leave it at default. Typically, I leave it at default because you know, I don't need to be looking at it that long. And then notice I type dash, and then now we get this drop-down list. So you can like scroll up and down on this list if you want to, or just type the first letter and press tab, and it will add it in for you. So you can use this in exactly the same way as you would in the console. But look at what's really neat here. So if I want to get information about a specific process, get process dash name. Well, I now have a drop-down list of all of the processes that are currently running on my machine. So I can select this if I want to, double-click it, or type whatever you want to do. So get the process, the name, and then I press enter, and it brings this back. So
we have enhanced IntelliSense, and the IntelliSense is very, very smart. And working with this, you know, so we get a listing of all of our parameters. We get a listing of available values. You know, so it goes off, it looks at stuff up in the background, brings it back for me, and so it makes this a very, very useful.
That's great. You know, so do you have to write a script to use ISE?
Actually, Brian, no, you don't. So, for instance, I'm going to open up a script pane. I can take my mouse over into the left corner and click New. And when I have New, then now I've got this new window here. So for this, we can have multiple tabs. I just closed one of the tabs. Now, suppose that I want to work with something here. So a command that that I might type some stuff and filter a lot of things out. And I could do this in the console if I wanted to. So for instance, I'm going to type get process. And notice once again that we have our drop-down list comes up, so get process. And this time I'm going to do something just a little weird. I mean, not something I would normally do. But so I'm going to do a pipeline command here, and I'm going to filter this stuff out. Now notice that I put the pipe on the right. Now this is the new feature right here that we have. See this little red squiggly thing? Well, whenever you see a red squiggly thing, you don't ignore it. You can come over here, take your mouse, put the I-beam, if that's what it's called, over the red squiggly thing, which is not what it's called, and it will say, an empty pipe element is not allowed.
I like
it. Cool.
I like
it. That's really nice. Lets you know exactly what it is. Of course, it's a bit obscure. I mean, you need to know what an empty pipe element is, but, you know, kind of think about it like plumbing.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're taking some stuff, you're sending it along the pipe, and all of a sudden you decide, hey, we're going to remove that 10-foot pipe between the house and the road. Dude, that's an empty pipe element you probably don't want to allow. Yeah. So same thing. We've got this stuff. We're sending it along the pipeline. You know, it needs to go somewhere. So we have our pipe. Now, what's this? This is going to be really, really cool here. So I'm going to say where. Notice that then I did the dash, where dash, and we get like all of our different, these are called parameter sets. These are different ways of building a where object command. Now you have to read really fast on that one, didn't you? So we just had O, and then it comes back, brings it up again. I'm going to hit tab, where object, and now I'm going to do a curly bracket here, and say where the, this is the old fashioned syntax, dollar sign underscore where, but notice that my list is, and the reason I wanted to show you this is so that I could show you how to build this old-fashioned syntax. So where what? One of the things that's always been a problem is where, is what properties am I allowed to filter for this? And so we can come down through here and where we can say, well, where the, let's just say the maximum working set dash what? Well, it's greater than, okay? So this is another thing that people complain about sometimes with Linux PowerShell is like, what in the heck are the operators? These are operators that are not known to any other language known to mankind. You know, maybe Cleon, but other than that, you know. So we have to, like, figure out what to do here. So greater than, and now I'm just going to, like, type a number here. It's not giving me numbers to filter on. Yeah, so we're going to say it's greater than 1,000, and I'm going to close my curly bracket. Now, at this point, yeah, I want to run this because I'm going to add some more stuff to this. And so this is like the way that I like build my commands, you know, work out a little bit, run a little bit, you know, work a little bit, run a little bit. That's the way I do it. Whenever I start to think, hey, man, you know, I've like written 5 or 6 books on PowerShell. I'm getting pretty good at this stuff. And I write like 100-line script, and then I write it. It never works right the first time. Yeah, so then you have to go back and debug 100 lines of code. If right here, this could be the beginning of a 100-line script, but right now I've only got to debug 2 lines of code, which is going to be 50 times easier than if I'd gone ahead and written the entire script all at once. So let's run this and see what happens. Okay? Hey, look, we got an error. Okay, let's go with name is greater than, And so now I'm going to just say like E. So this should give me a listing of all of the processes whose names are greater than E. So we have EX, and then we go F, blah, 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 blah. So now we got our listing of all of our names there. So now the next thing I want to do is I want to sort this list, okay? And I'm going to sort it by name. So watch what happens here. So I'm going to do my pipe. And, you know, we know that we can't have an empty pipe element. It tells us that if we hover over it. But this time I'm going to do like a couple of skippy lines, okay? Because sometimes, you know, you get a little squirrely. So I'm going to do a couple of skippy lines, and I'm going to say sort. And then it says sort object. And then now that it comes over here, sort by what? Let's go with a sort property, and then the sort with the property of name. It doesn't know that, and so then I'm going to say I want to do it descending, and now I'm going to clear my screen. That way, if I get a whole bunch of errors again, I can see them more easily, and we run this, and sure enough, that we now have them sorted in a descending fashion. So Explorer is on the bottom, and the X's are on the top. Well, that was actually pretty cool, but you know something? I seen something else that was really, really nice, that I hadn't noticed before, and I'm just playing here, but notice that we've got the unique switch. Cool. So I just simply want a listing of my properties that are greater than E, and they're unique. Okay, so now we got rid of all of the duplicate process names, and so we just have the unique different names that are running on this. And notice that I didn't have this backed up right up there or anything like that. Also notice I have not saved this. So this is not a script. So if I come over here and I save this, and we'll just call this test and Groovy. So we've saved it now. Now it's a script because it has a PS1 extension. And we can run this, and it's cool. Now, by default, I'm going to do my execution policy, and I'm going to specify the execution policy of, and notice that it comes up and it lets me know. So I'm going to restrict this so that scripts are not permitted to run. Can't access the key because I'm not an admin. So let's go back over here and upload this, and now I'm going to change this to the scope of only the current user. So I should have permission to be able to change my own script execution policy, and I did. So now, if I try to run this script, it doesn't run. See, it says I can't run this because it's disabled. Okay, so it didn't require a reboot, didn't have to close or stop this. Now, if I take this, copy it, create a brand new tab, and paste it. I'm going to clear this output. It runs. Because this is not saved, it is not a script. Okay. So this. So the whole point of this exercise was to show you that even if scripts are disabled on your machine, that you can use the ISE as a nice way of typing these commands so that you can see them, you can edit them, you can modify them. You know, copy and paste it to a new tab if you want to change this. Maybe I want to get rid of the descending here, you know, but I don't want to mess up my script. And notice also, so I'm going to run this. I actually have a couple of spaces there. Okay, but so it's very convenient, very liberal, if you will. Now I'm going to change this to unrestricted. And then I'm going to go to the end of my line. And I'm going to say force. And when I use the force here, we don't get the prompt. Okay? So what do you think, Blaine?
I think it's awesome. It almost looks like, you know, something you put in, built in like spell checker there, you know? So with the red, and it tells you your errors, and that's nice feature, ISE. So, you know, you don't have to necessarily, you know, write a script to use ISE, and you don't have to use ISE to write a script. We know that, right?
Yeah.
So What else? What are the resources? The best place besides your book? Where's a good place to go and get a lot of this information?
Well, probably one of the best places is you just come over here and look at your ISE help. It's going to come over here. It's going to look for the help. Now, this is actually so notice that we're listing our help down here at the bottom as we went through here. So use the help to look to find stuff. Now, one of the things that's actually pretty cool, I want to show you this. This is a freebie here. So I'm going to just say help, get command, and I can say online. And when I do online, this is going to go off and it'll actually use Internet Explorer and pull it up. And so drag this back over here. And so you can see that there, this is absolutely the latest help that we have. So you can always use online to pull in your latest and greatest help. This is a parameter that was actually available even in PowerShell 2. So you can use the help to find stuff. You can also go over here and take a look at ISE add-ons. We can look at those. We can go and connect to those and everything. There's a Wikipedia site that's set up to show you about working with this stuff. The Hey Scripting Guy blog. I'm actually planning a series of about a week long series of articles about working with the Windows PowerShell ISE.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that with us and talking about ISE. Hey, Ed, it's always a pleasure having you on IT Time TechNet Radio. Any last words?
Hey, keep on scripting.
Keep on scripting. Well, with that, I appreciate you being on this episode of IT Time TechNet Radio. And with that, it's a wrap.